And welcome to Reliving My Youth. My name is Noel Fogelman. My guest this week is David Lasher. Now, David's basically Mr. 90s, having starred on Nickelodeon's Hey Dude, playing Ted. Talk about that show. From there, he went on to a recurring role on Beverly Hills 90210, playing Kyle Connors. Went to Blossom, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and basically guest starred on every 90s show out there. But now he is hosting his own podcast with Christine Taylor, who was on Hey Dude as well, called Hey Dude, the 90s Club. Very awesome podcast. They do a lot of interviews of people who were influential in the 90s. And this coming weekend, him and Christine, along with the Hey Dude cast and many other people from the 90s, will be in Hartford, Connecticut for 90s Con. It is Friday through Sunday. Check it out. But David, really nice guy. I enjoy my conversation with him, and I hope you do as well. So David, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you're on my podcast, and podcasts are obviously huge. Everyone has one now, and you and Christine Taylor, co-host from Hey Dude, have one, Hey Dude, the 90s Call, which I absolutely love. It is such a fun podcast to, you know, reminisce about, you know, the good old times of the 90s, which I can't believe it's 30 years ago already, but let's not age ourselves. But yeah. But yeah, how did you decide to get into the podcast space?
I'm a huge podcast listener. You know, I've been listening to podcasts, you know, for years. And then, I was asked to come on Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling's 90210 OMG podcast to relook back at my episodes on 90210. And we had such a great time. And then Tori couldn't make one episode, so Jenny asked me to co-host with her. And then iHeart, their producer, Amy Sugarman, asked me. They have I forget what it was. It was some like men's health fitness kind of podcast. They asked me to host it 1 week. And I just loved it. I mean, I'm a huge fan of like deep dive interviews. You know, it's a lot more interesting to me than, you know, a 10-minute Tonight Show interview where, you know, everyone has a planned joke and you don't really get to know the person in a real way. So then Amy Sugarman and I came up with this idea of, you know, there's so many look backs on shows, which to me, like, I didn't want to do a look back on Sabrina or Blossom, you know, or even Hey Dude, because it's very limiting. All you're looking back on is that one show, and then it's finite, right? When you run out of episodes, the show's over. So I thought, look back on a decade, and I saw all this 90s nostalgia going on. Even my kids are fascinated by the 90s, and people our age are so nostalgic for it. It was like the last time before all the distractions, you know, of smartphones and social media, and everyone sort of like enjoyed the culture together. So we came up with, you know, the launching off point would have been our core Hey Dude audience, because that's where Christine and I met. And but then we are looking back on the decade of the 90s and talking to anyone that made a mark in that decade. And it's like, you know, the number of guests are just, there's no limit to who we could talk to. It's really amazing.
Yeah. And you can go basically any way in that podcast, you know, musicians, authors, you know, just celebrities, just for being celebrities. I mean, it's definitely open-ended. I guess the only two shows you can really do is like Law and Order or The Simpsons, because there's 9 million episodes of both. But, you know, but right. Other than that, it's pretty limited to where you can go. But, and you've interviewed a ton of people so far. Have you had someone who's kind of like your, like, white whale that you want to get on the show?
Well, we're getting now we're getting people that just say yes, like wish list type people. But like we had Bonnie Hunt on the other day, and she was, my gosh, she's like one of the greatest actresses, writers, directors, Second City. She had amazing stories. And we have two guests coming up. I probably can't say right now, but yeah, they're total whales that it took, maybe a year to book. But now I think, Christine said the other day on the show that Mikey Day from SNL texted Ben, her husband, saying that we're huge fans of your wife's podcast here at the show. So just like to think that like the SNL performers are listening to the podcast is so cool. And I think people inside our industry are loving the podcast. And now it's about getting just amazing guests and doing interesting interviews, and growing our social media and trying to get the show out there.
It's crazy, like you mentioned, it took like a year in the making to get some of these guests, how like hard it is to kind of like rein these got people in, and then finally you get them. Because I've had that a lot. I've been doing this for over 7 years now, where it sometimes took me 4 years to get a guest, where you lock it in, and then something happens, and then you have to do it again. You jump through so many hoops. But just the day and age now that like any schmo like myself now can reach out to you guys and have them on like my show. And it's just great now how like I mean, social media is good and bad, just how connected we are now, how easy it is, as opposed to the 90s when, we didn't have any of this, and like you guys were kind of like, I want to say mythical characters, but like, the actors when you were on 90210, all those actors, it was, really hard to like, feel like there was a close connection. Well, now it's like, super easy to just reach out to you guys and kind of have conversations.
Yeah, it's a great form of entertainment, I think.
Yeah. And the, the 90s con, which is March 15th to the 17th, is in Hartford, Connecticut. You, Christine, a lot of the Hey Dude cast, as well as Step by Step, Boy Meets World. I think Gina Davis is going to be there. A lot of other.
Oh yeah, Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon are doing a Thelma and Louise reunion there.
So, yeah, Susan Sarandon was at the New York Comic Con in October, so there was a long line for her there. She kind of has her own like separate booth, kind of closed off, so no one really sees her.
Yeah, I've never done it, but it seems very popular and very well organized.
So obviously you see my shirt, the Hey Dude, which was one of Nickelodeon's first scripted shows. I think Out of Control before that, with like Dave Coulier from Full House, had a show like in the late 80s, which was a kind of like a cool variety show. How did that come about? And just talk about just the whole production about it, being in Tucson, kind of away from your family and everything.
Well, I started acting, in New York, doing theater, and then and started doing commercials. And Hey Dude was just like another audition. I would go from my high school to the train into the city, run around on auditions. It was fun. I really, the process of just going on the auditions was fun for me. I really wasn't like so caught up in if I got things or I had done a pilot for NBC the year before I got Hey Dude called Down Delaware Road. It didn't go to series, and then I tested for Who's the Boss to play Alyssa Milano's boyfriend. They flew me to LA. I did not get that, and then the Hey Dude audition was at 1515 Broadway, at their offices in New York. And yeah, it went well. And I moved to Tucson, Arizona to start shooting that. It was the end of my junior year of high school.
Okay. So while you were there, did you have to do, schooling?
Yeah, we had a company called On Location Education. And I would have to do 3 hours of school every day.
Like the show, was it like not air conditioned, which is like the one office that had air conditioning? So how, like, was it difficult to kind of concentrate with being so hot out there? Or the trailers, you know, air conditioned?
I remember there was a room at the hotel that we would do it. And then on set, there was like, like a honey wagon trailer or something. I got straight A's though my whole
Okay.
senior year.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, Ted, you know, obviously expert, you know, horse rider. Did you learn to ride a horse prior to that, or was it just for the show?
If I remember correctly, they trained us for sure. We definitely had horse riding lessons, and I loved it. I loved being around the horses and riding them. But a lot of times my character would like fall off the horse into a pile of mud. I think there were some stunt doubles that would do the fall, and then I'd be the one getting up out of the mud. A lot of pratfalls on that show.
Right. Did you enjoy doing the physical comedy like that?
Yeah, I do. You know, like John Ritter, you know, from Three's Company. And physical comedy to me is, it gets me every time. I love it.
Yeah. Now, like your, you know, coworker and friend on the show, you know, Danny, played by Joe Torres, kind of like been laying low. Have you heard from him? You know what he's doing these days?
No, man, nobody knows where Joe Torres is. It's really weird, right? In 2024, that someone is unfindable.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's such a great guy. I don't know. We've tried to find him, you know, through everything, through social, through YouTube, through Google, through everything. And he's off the grid. I don't know where he is.
Wow. So I guess that could be your white whale for the show, right? Trying to get him on.
Oh, my God. If someone can find him. You know, Josh Tygel, who played Buddy on the show,
yeah,
is like a private investigator.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I'd love to have him use his resources to try and find Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a whole, you know, you shoot it. You have him to try to, you know, interview people. You do a whole, like, you know, series about where in the world is Joe Torres?
That would be a good little series, yeah.
Yeah. Now, right around that time on Nickelodeon, I don't know if it was started right after Hey Dude, but there was a show called 15, which was kind of like their version of 90210. It was set in school. I think it was shot in Canada, and it starred a very young Ryan Reynolds. I don't know if you remember that show.
No, 15? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
But we just had... We just had Chris Kirkpatrick on our podcast this week.
Right.
And he was talking about the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
And all the people that came out of that show. It's really like mind blowing how much talent they had on that Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, I know. That's like, well, Christina Aguilera, right? And Britney Spears.
Christina, Britney, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I was a guest on that show. I remember, I think I was doing Blossom at the time, and I flew to Orlando, and I think they'd have like celebrity guests every week. Yeah. And all those, I don't know, whoever cast that show should get like a lifetime achievement award.
Oh, no doubt. Or, you know, walk on the Hollywood Walk of Fame or something like that, because they nailed
right
that.
But a lot of young talent came through Nickelodeon as well, for sure. I didn't know Ryan Gosling had a show.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it. I mean, it's hard to find, but I think they have clips on YouTube. It's very cheesy, but it's funny. It's definitely, you know, for the times. Yeah. Major marked in nighttime drama. And you had, I guess, a couple of roles on 90210 with playing Kyle Connors. Mm-hmm. And three episodes, and you couldn't find more like hard-hitting topics at that point. You know, you're playing an athlete who was like dealing with their sexuality, and at that point in the 90s, no one was doing shows about that, and which was one of the summer shows. And the beauty of 90210 is like they were like one of the first show to like have like original first runs in the summer, which really, I think, catapulted that show into another level.
Yeah, my episodes were during that first summer. I think because nothing, you know, everything else was reruns. And 90210 had this idea to air original episodes during the summer. And the show took off. I mean, of anything I've ever done, I've never felt that sort of like recognizability so quickly. And yeah, I played a guy that was questioning his sexuality at the time. It was like no one was doing that. So the writers, I give them a lot of credit. I think they won some awards for that first episode I did. And yeah, then I was on the football team using steroids. I was like, they brought me on to do all the crazy social issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love Jenny Garth. Luke Perry was a good friend. Jason, I love all, and Tori, all of them. Right. I love all those people so much. They were so welcoming. And they were as big as you get for a few years there. I mean, cover of Rolling Stone, and that show, you know, definitely made a mark.
Yeah. And it's crazy to think how like the show originally started with like just the Walsh family. And then you fast forward, I think, 10 years, and none of them were on the show anymore. And it just dealt with the secondary characters, and they were elevated. So it was kind of interesting. Like, very few shows, you know, can survive with that.
Well, because Shannon left the show, right?
Yeah, Shannon left, and then, you know, the Walshes left, and then Jason Priestley left, and then it was just like, you know, Ian Ziering and Jenny Garth and, you know, Tori Spelling, they kind of, like, ran the show.
I don't remember.
Perry, yeah, Luke Perry came back after being gone for a couple of years, so it was kind of, like, interesting.
Yeah, we had Jason on our show, and he talked about how he was, he directed a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we had Jenny on, and Jenny also has a podcast with iHeart, so we see her at a lot of events, and Tori as well.
When you were acting back in the 90s, was that something that you wanted to do, direct? I mean, we'll talk about Sister in a little bit, but was that something at that point you knew you wanted to get involved in?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had negotiated some directing work in, you know, like in Sabrina. I really should have done that. I, you know, Melissa did it, Beth Broderick did it. But for me, yes, directing for me was writing a very personal story about my family as a feature film and going to make something that, you know, no one else could make except for me. And that was, yeah, I mean, that, I don't, that was my best way into directing.
I know you said Sister was a very personal story to you. Was it easy to write the screenplay?
No, it was not easy. I think it took like 2 years. But, you know, it dealt with my mother's mental illness, my younger sister's misdiagnosis of all these disorders and her over-medication. It was like, but also tried to keep it real and funny. And, you know, I had a guy named Reed Scott who played my character, because by the time I had finished writing the screenplay, I was too old to play the role. You know, he really needed to be like mid-30s and kind of stuck in his life. But Reed Scott was unreal, unbelievable. Barbara Hershey played my mom. And yeah, I mean, I'm very proud of that film.
Yeah, and it's such a powerful film. I recently watched it, and there are a couple of actors who I always play a game where it's like you recognize them, but you don't know from where, and you really don't want to go onto like IMDb and say, oh, that's where I know him from. So you try to spend like a couple hours thinking about it, and there are a couple actresses from that movie, one who played your wife, who I knew from, you know, a bunch of other things. And then
Sarinda Swan, yeah, amazing actress. She's fantastic. You know, she's in the Marvel universe now. Yeah. Grace Kaufman, you know, the 12-year-old is now an incredible actress.
Right, and she, you know, landed on a sitcom with Matt LeBlanc, and
right.
Yeah, and then eventually, I guess you can say her teacher, who was on My Name Is Earl, among other things. So there are a lot of talented people. Not to mention Dan Loria, who played your fa father, who was just fantastic.
Oh, Dan Loria from The Wonder Years. Yeah, one
Yeah.
of the greatest. Ileana Douglas,
Right.
you
Yeah.
know, I mean, and John Hurd, the late great
Yeah.
John Hurd, who played the
Exactly.
psychiatrist.
Right. Now, with all these talented actors, was it kind of difficult to cast them, like being a first-time director?
You know, I've my experience, I had a great casting director, this woman, Emily Schweber. And once you have a go movie and you have the financing, people show up, and it has to be a good script. I think people responded to the story. But yeah, I was amazed at the amount, the caliber of talent that showed up for us on a very small budget film.
Was it difficult to get the funding for it?
No, we did it through a nonprofit because there's these issues in the film. We wanted to raise awareness for around ADHD and different diagnoses that kids are getting and the medication they're being put on. So I had a friend named Warren who really believed in this issue, and he said, start a 501c3 and your investors are will become donors, like to try and get the word out on this message that the film carried. So I had some very close friends that w really put it together very quickly.
Well, that's great. I recommend everyone to watch it. I believe it's on Amazon Prime, and I think Apple has it as
Yeah,
well.
Sister is on Prime Video. Yep.
Yeah. And was it a happy ending? I mean, I guess it's still ongoing with your personally with you and your family, but is it everything going well in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, there was art. It's not an absolute true story. It was kind of imagined. What if this happened? What if that happened? I mean, I'm happily married.
Right.
You know, my character in the movie is in a different place than I was at the time. But I did have to take custody of my youngest sister when my dad passed away, and she's doing great now. So yeah, thank you for asking.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And you mentioned like you couldn't play the role. Was there ever a part that you thought you might wanna be take the lead role in that movie?
No, I didn't play any role in Sister. No, I didn't want to like bleed those lines, you know. I wanted to be the writer director, and I didn't want anyone, I didn't care what anyone thought, but I didn't want people to think, oh, look at him putting himself, you know, he wrote something so he can act in it. I really wanted to focus on the writing and the directing of it. But I've done stuff since then where I put myself in it just to have fun.
Right, yeah. But you did have your kids in that, and was that their first like roles in movies?
Oh yeah, well, Hannah played on the field hockey scene, and Casey was in the Mexican restaurant scene. You know, they were just little
Yeah.
background type stuff. You know, they're both off at college. They're not in the entertainment business. And my youngest one, Chelsea, who actually is in entertainment business, was too young. She was not in that movie.
Did she come to you guys and say, this is something I wanted to do? Like get involved in the business? And how like responsive were you to that?
No, it kind of happened organically. She had a babysitter named Jax, who, you know, they're like sisters, and they would do TikTok videos together. And then their videos would get a lot of views, like, I mean, crazy amount of views. And then Jax became a huge pop star. You know, she's, I think, on Atlantic Records. She wrote this Victoria's Secret song about Chelsea and something she was going through a couple years ago. And she's just had hit song after hit song. She brought Chelsea on tour with her for the Jingle Ball tour. She'd go on stage and perform that song with her. And now Chelsea's, you know, it's like she does her YouTube channel, she does TikToks, and she does it when she wants to. She wants to start acting, but she's kind of turned down a lot of auditions. And I'm like, you know, whatever you want to do. She's just a regular kid. She's into her friends and school and sports. Soccer, but She did say to me the other night that she wants to like start taking acting more seriously. So whatever she wants to do, I'm supportive.
You would know. I mean, like basically being in the business, like, you know, the pros and cons and what to watch out for.
I did it. I really did it on my own. My mom wasn't driving me into the city to auditions. I was going myself. But yeah, you see parents that push their kids into it, and that's not for me.
Being obviously, you know, with the 90s, you know, so many shows that, you know, you did, Blossom, you played, you know, Blossom's boyfriend Vinny for a few seasons. And did you get that right after 90210?
Yeah. I remember at the Blossom audition that Mayim had just seen my 90210 episodes, or she and Jenna were like very big 90210 fans. I think I got Blossom because of my 90210 character, because Mayim was such a big fan of that show.
Because you weren't supposed to be like a recurring character, right? Or part of the main show, right? I think you were just guest starring at one point.
Oh, on Blossom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did one episode. It was like the season two finale, where I think Blossom runs away with me or something. And then I think the Monday, the taping was on a Friday. And then the next Monday, I got an offer for a 3-year contract on the show. Yeah.
And then like at that point, you know, going on auditions and pilots, I mean, that's gotta be every actor's dreams. You get like a multi-year deal on a show.
Yeah, you know, and I was so insecure. I'm like, I thought I was getting fired every day on that show. I didn't, you know, but yeah, the writers were amazing. Don Rio, who created the show, is the greatest guy. And Mayim, you know, just really connected. We became really good friends. We're still good friends. We talk all the time.
Yeah, I saw you and Christina on our podcast, which is really good.
Yeah, well, she and Don are trying to get a reimagined Blossom going again.
Oh, okay. Is there a place for you in the show?
Yeah, they asked me if I would do it. I'm like, of course. It's a single camera version of Blossom, not a sitcom.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Of all the
shows, whole gang is ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Now, of all the shows that get kind of rebooted, reimagined, is there one that you wish that you've done would get reimagined or rebooted?
I think Blossom would be great to revisit. The writing was so good. And to do it as an hour, as a single camera show, you know, like that show, you know, her brother was an alcoholic and drug addict. And it had a lot of serious issues for a half hour comedy at the time. And plus having, you know, a young girl as the lead of a show, that wasn't happening very often. So I'd love to revisit where those characters are. And then the Sabrina, you know, Netflix did it in a very dark kind of way. This Chronicles of Sabrina or something. But I don't know. I don't know if Melissa and her mom, Paula, would want to revisit Sabrina as it existed as a comedy. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, I agree. Now, a lot of guest starring roles you had, you know, every basically 90s show, Full House, Life Goes On, Step by Step, Two of a Kind. Was every set you went on, was it all like welcoming? Was there ever any bad experiences you've had on any of those shows?
No, we just had Candace Cameron on our podcast, and we later, after I did that Full House, that the Full House episode I did was like my first job, I think, after Hey Dude. And I remember being terrified, and they were all such pros, you know, with Stamos, Saget. They were great people, but they were seasoned veterans. And I felt terrified the entire time. And I told Candace that much, that I was so scared on that show. But No, I mean, usually cast and crews are very welcoming to guest stars. That's what I found.
That's great. And I actually worked with the Olsen twins a little bit later, right? Two of a kind.
Yeah, I played their uncle Matt on a show called Two of a Kind for ABC. It only went one season. But they were so cool. I mean, they were such seasoned veterans. They were only teenagers, probably, and they just knew what they were doing since they've been doing it since they were literally infants.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think. And like they nailed like every scene they were in when they were infants too. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, auditioning, like for pilots and stuff you didn't get, was there ever a particular actor you came across like, oh, I mean, he's here again? And it was just kind of like your so-called nemesis that you always auditioned against.
I don't know. It was just the same. Yeah, I don't want to name anybody, but yeah, it was a lot of the same faces for a couple decades. We'd all be in, building 140 at Warner Brothers, sitting outside waiting to read for something. The one job that I almost got, I read for the movie Clueless so many times for the role that Paul Rudd ended up getting and really got down to the wire. I mean, it was like so much down to the wire that after I didn't get the movie, Amy Heckerling called me and said, "Will you do the TV show?" So I, and I didn't have to read for the TV show. And, Donald Faison and Elisa Donovan, everyone came back except for Alicia Silverstone. So I think I did that show for 2 years. But yeah, I mean, if there's one job that got away from me, it would have been the movie Clueless because it's such a classic,
Yeah. And it's funny because like both you and Paul Rudd are like just ageless. It's crazy. You just don't look like you've aged a bit since then.
Well, thank you. Yeah, he's such a great comedic actor. I'm such a huge fan of his. And but yeah, I would have liked to have gotten that one. It was very close.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Now, I know there was kind of like after Sabrina, you kind of went in a different direction. Like you said, you went towards the directing. Was there a point where it's like you got typecast and it was kind of difficult to get roles?
Yeah, when I was in my 30s, I still looked young and I'd read for the dad or the cop or the lawyer, and they'd always say, "Oh, David looks too young." Even though I had kids and I was in my 30s. So there was a time there where it got very difficult after 20 years of just breezing through. And so that's when I said, I got to start writing. I got to start directing. I need to, do things that I can control.
Do you still enjoy the acting?
I do. I started acting again like a year ago because, there's all these, you do self-tapes now, right? You don't have to drive all over the city to Fox or Warner Brothers. And so, yeah, I started acting. I got a role on the show, The Other Two. For Max, it's a great show. It was nominated for an Emmy. So I flew back and forth to New York for a little bit for that. Then I got a show called I Think You Should Leave. And I had to turn it down because I was on my way to New York to promote the launch of the podcast at their Jingle Ball. And then the strike happened. I picked the wrong time to start acting again, for sure. But yeah, now I'm back at it. I got, great representation that I love. Corner Booth Management is amazing. And a guy named Roger Paul out of New York as an agent. And so yeah, it's just another thing that I'm doing, but why not? Why not do it?
I guess now with doing the self-tapes, you really don't know who you're competing against for the roles, right?
No, you don't know. I listen, all these auditions, they have to offer at least a live Zoom audition, which I have decided that I'm requesting that every time. I want to see somebody and get their feedback and get notes from someone rather than self-taping myself and just emailing it out into the universe. You don't know if anyone's seeing it. But yeah, I miss in-person auditions. That would be great to have those back.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Plus, I guess it just saves money, right? Doing everything on Zoom these days.
Everything's on Zoom, especially in entertainment. I mean, there's very few. I was on the Paramount lot like a few weeks ago pitching a show, and there was like nobody there. There wasn't even like a receptionist in the building. It
Yeah, that's it's
was
weird.
weird.
Yeah, because I was, I mean, I still work in the city, but like when the pandemic started, it was like a ghost town. And it was
Yep.
like really nuts, but luckily I was able to work from home for 2 years. So it's something in my field I wasn't able, didn't even think I would able to do. And it's just like, I mean, it's never a good time to have a
What's
job.
your day job?
I work in like in television, like behind the scenes. So like for,
Oh.
yeah, for News Nation, the cable news network. But
Oh, cool.
yeah, I bounced around ESPN for like a decade and like the baseball network and everything like that. So it's,
Oh, great.
yeah, it's been fun and nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like there's never a good time to have a pandemic, but with all the technology that we have these days, like the Zooms and obviously the FaceTimes, it like really was beneficial to have this technology now, because we wouldn't have been able to like contact our like loved ones, or just have like those Zoom reunions every week and stuff like that. It would have been much more difficult to get through this pandemic.
Yeah, I wonder, was Zoom around before the pandemic, or did Zoom get created because of
I think
the
it
need?
started like before, but it just like catapulted, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which would have bought that stock right before and sold it right when the
Seriously, man, it's like it's now a word in the English language.
Yeah.
I got a Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Googling, you're Zooming. Yeah. Now,
Right.
speaking of like technology and social media, are you kind of grateful that it wasn't around back in the 90s?
Oh yeah, it's listen, I think it's great in keeping people connected. It's great for promoting work that you're doing, but it's a huge distraction. I mean, I don't know how, if I took all the hours that I've spent on Instagram and put them towards a more productive use of my time, I mean, I can't imagine what I w might have accomplished. But there's good and there's bad. But it's, for the younger, for younger people, I think it's, there's a lot of negativity, not a lot of negative aspects to it.
Yeah, just having like interpersonal conversations with people, it's difficult. I'm watching my daughter now, who's like 14, and it's just like you want to be able to talk to your friends like face to face rather than just text them. And when they all hang out, they're all on their phones. Like have conversations, like we did when we were kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to like preach like get off my lawn, but it's a lot of skills, like interpersonal skills you're losing out now as a result of like social media.
Yeah, for sure. And though the comparisons, right? Like you're watching everybody's best moments and
Yeah.
comparing your life to theirs.
Right.
It's not a fair, it's not fair to them because it creates a lot of FOMO and insecurity, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, no one can write just with like a pencil or a pen on paper, because everyone texts or just like emails or types. So it's like I feel like anyone writing these days is like after like three sentences, their hand hurts because they can't write anymore.
Right.
Yeah, or they like I know my like kids' schools, they don't even teach like cursive anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, no one writes in hand anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had the worst handwriting anyway, so it's I guess typing is better than that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But do you still like get back to Scarsdale that often? Do you have any family still there?
My mom passed away in 2018, but I used to go back all the time, and now my sister Lauren lives in Mamaroneck,
Okay.
right near Scarsdale. So
Yeah.
yeah, I go up there and see her and her boyfriend. But yeah, you know what? Actually, was it last summer? I got put on some wall of fame, like in Scarsdale High School, next to, what was it? Aaron Sorkin
Oh, wow.
and some astronaut. I don't know. They put me, and there was like a nice party to, I guess for Scarsdale alumni who have accomplished whatever.
Right.
So my picture is up there. So I went back for that. But yeah, I love Scarsdale. It's a great place to grow up.
Right, that's great. I think the most famous alum from my high school are Reginald L. Johnson, who was Carl Winslow, and on Family Matters. And
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah, that guy's great.
and then Ron Jeremy.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so it's like,
That's
yeah. It's
where, what high school did you go to?
it was a Benjamin Cardozo in Queens. So,
Okay, Ron Jeremy.
yeah. So I didn't know that for the longest time. I'm like, oh God, yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, David, I really appreciate this. This was fantastic. Everybody who can go to 90s Con in Hartford, Connecticut, March 15th to the 17th. Basically, anyone you can think of from the 90s will be there. Big Hey Dude presence. I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully.
Yeah, I have my Hey Dude cast and my Sabrina cast. I'm gonna be going back and forth.
You're gonna be busy. Yeah, definitely. And is there
Yeah.
anyone like you haven't seen in a while that you're kind of looking forward to? Like not like someone you worked with, but just like someone like from the 90s who's gonna be there that you're kind of interested in meeting?
One of my first jobs after Hey Dude was Step by Step also. So yeah, like Stacey Keenan, that whole group, and I have a lot of mutual friends with James Vanderbeek.
Okay.
He's going to be there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm psyched to see my Sabrina friends and my Hey Dude friends. And if everybody could go check out our podcast called Hey Dude, the 90s called, wherever you get your podcasts, I think you'll enjoy it.
Great. Well, like I said, I appreciate the time today and best of luck with everything.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Nice to meet you.
And a special thanks to David for joining me today. Check out Hey Dude, the 90s Called. It is on all the podcast sites. And if you're in Hartford, Connecticut this weekend, check out 90s Con. Basically, everyone from the 90s will be there. And if you have a guest suggestion, hit me up on Twitter at TheFirstNoel19 or like the page, Living My Youth on Facebook. You can go to iTunes, check out all the past episodes we've had. While you're there, please rate and review the show. Don't have iTunes? Not a problem. Shows on SoundCloud, Spotify, Podbean, Amazon Music. Basically, wherever you can find a podcast, a new episode comes out every week. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you then.